So the reading is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to the end, and it's on page 977 of the Bibles. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Wonderful. Absolute pleasure to be welcoming our guest speaker for tonight, the Reverend Tim Mullins. Tim, why don't you come and join me? Why don't we give him a round of applause as we welcome Tim to come and speak? Tim, absolute treat to have you with us. I could do with a stepladder. I'm feeling slightly insecure standing next to you. So Tim is the chaplain of Stowe School. And so the last time I was doing something with Tim, it's kind of a role reversal, and Tim was cool as a cucumber in his comfort zone in front of about 800 students and staff, something like that. And I was there preaching, absolutely terrified, knees knocking. So I'm pleased that perhaps the roles are slightly reversed. Great to have you with us, Tim. Shall we pray for Tim and for ourselves as we prepare to hear from God's word? Really excited to have you, Tim. So, Father God, just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this sermon series that we're in over the summer Sunday, thinking about family life. Lord, I thank you for my brother, Tim. Thank you for his ministry to young people and the staff at Stowe School. Pray now that you would anoint him by your Holy Spirit, that you would put power on his message, and that you would be speaking to each one of us this evening according to our needs. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Tim.
Thank you very much, Danny. Well, hello, everybody. Great to be here. You mustn't be so hard on yourself, Danny. You did a fantastic job when you came to Stowe. And there was the headmaster said that was the best sermon he'd heard for ages. So, and that was after hearing a whole load of mine as well. Anyway, in Chester Cathedral, there is a clock. And underneath the clock is written this poem. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I grew more bold, time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in passing on, time gone. O Christ, wilt thou have saved me then? Amen. And looking out over the congregation this evening, probably most of us would say that time is running or flying. For a few, there is still time is still strolling or crawling. But in this sermon series that's entitled Doing Family, this evening we're looking at time. And if there's anything that's going to make us kind of feel bad about ourselves, it's combining family and time. I don't know about you, but I often feel guilty about how much time I give to my family and how much more time I could give to them. But anyway, I hope this will actually be an encouraging and positive message, because although we know that time is precious, we all know that time is limited, we all know that time is short, we can see the perfect sense in what Paul says to the Ephesians when he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We're meant to use our time wisely. We can all see the perfect logic when the psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Of course, we have limited time on earth. We all know that. Of course, we want to spend it well. But we're constantly busy. Often, we're sleep deprived. We find we're losing touch with our old friends. And we feel guilty that we're not spending enough time with our grandparents or our parents or our children or our grandchildren. Please tick the appropriate box that's right for you. and we juggle work and family and church and leisure and friends and God. And I've only got 1,440 minutes each day to pack everything in. And I'm about to lose 15 of them listening to someone who's talking about time. Well, I've got good news for all of us this evening. Jesus promises rest. Jesus promises rest. Would you like to open the Bible you were given as you came in? Page 977, Matthew chapter 11, the reading that Joe has just read for us. And when you think about it, Jesus really is the one to turn to on this subject of time. Because if anyone was busy and yet lived a perfectly balanced and serene life, it was Jesus. Just think how Jesus filled his days for a moment. He had time for his family. He was so close to his mother that as he was being crucified, he turned to his disciple John and said, "John, here's your mother." And to his mother, "Mother, here is your son." So in the midst of this excruciating pain, his thoughts were directed towards his family. He had time for his friends. Even when he was incredibly busy on this public ministry, he gave quality time to his 12 disciples and others as well. He had time for work. He devoted himself to the crowds. We read that he had compassion on them like sheep without a shepherd. He taught them because he said, "I've come to seek and to save the lost." He gave himself for them. And we read that Jesus was tired by his work and yet at the same time refreshed by it. He had time for leisure. Do you remember the wedding at Cana where Jesus turned the water into wine? He clearly knew the difference between Chateau Lafitte 1947 and Tesco's special offer Plonk. Jesus knew how to party. He had time for leisure. He had time for strangers. On his way to Jerusalem, where he knew he was going to be crucified, he stopped and he healed a blind beggar, the kind of lowest of the social low. And at the same time, he had time for a life-changing conversation with the deeply unpopular tax man, Zacchaeus. And in amongst all this, he had time for God. If you read Mark chapter 1, we read of one of Jesus' more hectic days where he was teaching and healing and casting out demons. And then at the end of the chapter, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went to a solitary place where he prayed." Before Jesus heads south for Jerusalem and his trial and his death, he takes his disciples up the mountain and he prays. He has time for God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he's killed, he prays. He has time for God. It almost seems that the busier Jesus was and the more intense his life became, the more time he had to pray, the more he needed to spend time with God. So if Jesus managed to juggle all these aspects in his life, family, work, friends, leisure, people, God, he must be the authority on this subject. So let's listen again to what he says. Look at Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Some people are driven by the need to prove themselves. Dame Helen Mirren, Oscar-winning actress and national treasure, said this about herself: "Why am I eaten up with the continuous anxiety, the worry, the one eye over the shoulder, wondering who's being offered what part? I wish I wasn't like that. I'd give anything to know satisfaction." And that's one of our most successful actors. But Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." And by rest, he doesn't mean leisure and relaxation. He means the deep contentment of knowing that we are loved by God and that we're accepted by God. That instead of needing to prove ourselves the whole time, we are already someone who is a child of God, precious to him. Some people are burdened and weary by insecurity. Perhaps it's about our finances, or our health, or our mortgage, or our lack of mortgage, or our children's future, or our retirement. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He promises security. Our lives are in his hands. He's the sovereign God. He's in control. He's in control of the watch of time. He's the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. And rest means security. Some people are wearied and burdened by the expectations of others. Does my boss like me? Will I get a pay rise this year? Am I a good enough parent? Am I a disappointment to my friends or my colleagues? Well, rather than being crushed by these expectations, we can comfort ourselves in the knowledge that when we come to Jesus, we are coming to someone who accepts me just as I am. The living God accepts me. He never asks me to do more than I can do. The God who created me also created time. He's given me 84,400 seconds every day. He's given us all 84,400 seconds each day. And there are only so many things that you and I can fit into those 84,400 seconds. I may be a disappointment to other people, but when I come to Jesus, I find rest. And when you come to Jesus, you find rest. We find someone who loves us. We find someone who loves us enough to die for us. And we find someone who has a plan for our lives and someone who has good works for us to do. My past is redeemed. My future is secure, which means that in the present, I can rest. But Jesus doesn't just stop there. Look again at Matthew 11. Look at verse 29. Do you see his second command? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's that word rest again. Jesus doesn't just say, come to me. He says, take my yoke. And the picture here is of oxen treading the grain. There's work to be done. A young oxen is yoked together beside an older oxen who's, as it were, teaching them the ropes. And Jesus says to us as we come to him, be yoked together with me. Come alongside me. Take my hand. Learn from me. Follow me. And we need to let Jesus train us and teach us. We need to allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives, and that includes being Lord of our time. So if we're feeling weary and burdened, there's just not enough time in the day to do everything. And I don't know about you, I sometimes wake up in the morning and I look ahead through the day and I just know that every minute is kind of spoken for, and I know that next time I'm going to be back on that bed, I'm just going to be crash out on that pillow. Or if I don't crash out, I'm going to be lying awake worrying about all the things I haven't done. Do you have days like that? I think we all do. If we're feeling weary and burdened, we need to come to Jesus because he's the Savior and we're secure in him. And if we feel like that, we also need to take Jesus' yoke. He's the Lord, and we're to learn from him and to walk with him. Now, I want to look briefly at two areas where we can particularly feel weary and burdened. Two areas that compete for our time. Two areas that we often have to juggle and often, frankly, let's face it, we get wrong. But it's good just to reflect on it and see how we might do better. They are work and family. We can spend too much time on any one of these things and it becomes idolatry. And we can spend too little time on any of these things and they become neglect. And we need to find the right balance. And I want to suggest that in both these areas, work and family, we can be rather like the porridge in Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Do you remember? Papa Bear's porridge, it's too hot. That's idolatry. Okay? Mama Bear's porridge, too cold. That's neglect. Baby Bear's porridge, just right. Okay, so we want to be Baby Bear's porridge for Jesus tonight. First, work. It's true that there are some people who are work shy. They don't pull their weight in the team. They do the bare minimum. We've probably got someone like that in our team, and the rest of the team resents them. There may be some people who don't even work at all. They can't be bothered. And Paul says in his letter to the Thessalonians, settle down and earn the food that you eat. I think the problem, though, that most Christians are likely to face, more likely to face, is that of overworking. In 1971, someone called Wayne Oates wrote this book entitled Confessions of a Workaholic, The Facts About Work Addiction. And Wayne Oates was a clinical psychologist. He went to work one day and he discovered that the next client coming through the door was actually his own young son. He said, what are you doing here? And the boy said, well, Dad, it's the only way I can get to spend time with you. And on the back of that, Wayne Oates wrote this book, Confessions of a Workaholic. We may not be that bad, but a study at the University of Michigan amongst thousands of people discovered that working mothers spend 11 minutes a day outside mealtimes with their children. And fathers are worse, 8 minutes. So let's call workaholism what it really is, idolatry. Quite apart from neglecting our family and other responsibilities, we're not trusting God to meet all our needs, and we're making an idol out of our work. They can't manage without me. I need to give it more time. I can never give work enough time. We're making it into an idol. So Papa Bear's attitude to work is idolatry. Working for the boss and not for the Lord. Working 7 days a week and not resting. Working primarily for greed or anxiety or to give meaning to our lives. Mama Bear's attitude to work is neglect. Failing to provide for oneself or one's family, expecting others to step in and do the work for us, failing to share or to give, only working hard when the boss is looking. But Christian baby bears who get it just right work for the Lord. We are to please Him, and we're to find the right balance between work and rest, between work and family, and work and other things, and we're to glorify God in all that we do. So that's work. The second area is family. Again, there's a balance to be struck here. Because we're sinful human beings, we won't always get this right. There's a danger for some of neglecting our families, putting our own interests above our families, ignoring our elderly parents, or failing to teach Christ or model Him to our children, spending too much time at the office and neglecting our children. On the other hand, it's quite possible to turn the family into an idol. That is, to devote more time and love to our families than to God. So we skip church to take the kids to football or cricket on a Sunday morning. Or the children are so busy with trumpet lessons and drama classes and ballet and extra maths that there's no time to eat together as a family, and certainly no time to pray together or to read the Bible to our children. Every Sunday we're off to see the grandparents, so we seldom make it to church, and we never have anyone else apart from family round for a meal. We need to be baby bears about this, and we need to find the right balance. Of course, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Of course, wives are to love and respect their husbands. So go away for a romantic weekend. Don't neglect your marriage. Of course, parents are to bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Of course, children are to honor their father and mother, even in old age, especially in old age. So have a great family holiday together, and no guilt about any of that. But we're also called to look out for widows and orphans, to feed the hungry, to care for the sick, to be part of a church community, and 1,001 other things besides. It's hard being a Christian baby bear. It's hard finding the right balance. And there'll be one week where we think we've been a bit more papa bear, and there'll be another week where we think we're a bit more of a mama bear. And we all go on working out the right balance. And it's not for me to tell you how to live your life, it's for me to look at my own life and say, am I being a good husband, father, whatever? And I think Christians sometimes juggle more balls than our non-Christian friends, because God calls us to do various things for him that he doesn't call other people to do. So God's gift of time, it's a great gift, but it's very easy to feel guilty about time, either overdoing things or neglecting things. And for those of us who perhaps have a tendency to overdo things, it's good to remember that God is in charge of this world and not us. That actually he can manage without us, surprising though it may sometimes seem. That God is in charge of our work and our family and our church involvement and our leisure and not us. So if we're by nature an overworker, let's come to Jesus and find rest in him. And for those of us who can neglect certain areas of life, and we're all prone to that as well, it's good to remember again that God is in charge of everything. And amazingly, God chooses to work through us. I sometimes think God would do so much better a job if he did it on his own. He didn't include me, but amazingly, God chooses to work through us. Paul tells the Ephesians that God has prepared good works in advance for them to do. So if we're like that, and there's a danger that we can neglect areas of our lives, let's take up his yoke and learn from him. Let's pray. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Lord Jesus, thank you that as you yourself walked this earth, you understand what it is to be weary and burdened. Forgive us when we've made idols out of our work or our family life or even out of our involvement in church life. Forgive us when we've been neglectful in any of these areas. Please help us to number our days, to realize that life is short. Help us to number our days and gain a heart of wisdom. Please help us to make the most of every opportunity. So may we walk with you joyfully, and help us to lead balanced Christian lives, trusting that you are our loving Saviour and our generous Lord. And we ask this for Jesus' sake and his glory. Amen.